One might even go so far as to say that most of these problems are not new problems. They're old problems, in one form or another. They've been with us practically since the dawn of human history. But there is something new about these problems. There's something new about all or very nearly all of the problems I've mentioned, and also some that I haven't mentioned. What is new about the majority, if not all, of these current problems now, is their global character. The problems I've mentioned are none of them, as far as I can recollect, confined to just one small section of the human race. All these problems, whether political, economic, social, directly or indirectly affect all of us on this planet, all of us on this globe. Even if they don't impinge upon us very strongly and powerfully in our personal lives, at least we know about them, and perhaps we're at least emotionally affected by them to some extent. Formerly, this was not the case. Formerly, even perhaps 100 years ago, something very terrible, something very catastrophic could happen in one part of the world, affecting thousands, even millions of people, and the rest of the people in the world might not know anything about it at all. There might be a war in one continent or one country, a war which was raging for a long time, which was very destructive in terms of property and human life, very tragic, very terrible. But news of that war might not reach the rest of the world, or many other parts of the world at least, for quite a long time. In fact, it might never reach at all. Many people, the majority of people perhaps, wouldn't know anything at all about that war that was raging or had raged in that distant part of the world. But this sort of thing, we may say, is no longer possible. Whatever happens anywhere is known to everybody who cares to know almost instantly. Because one of the great characteristics, one of the great features of the history of the last few decades is this very greatly increased facility of communication among human beings. And it's as though, we may say, it's as though the world had shrunk, as though the globe had become quite literally a smaller place, a smaller planet. There's no need to go into this, no need to emphasize this. This is a matter of common knowledge, though it doesn't always perhaps sink as decisively into our consciousness, into our awareness, as it should do. Now, when we hear about these problems, when we're confronted by these problems, when they are practically forced upon our attention, what, we may ask, is our reaction to them? We hear, for example, about a fresh outbreak of hostilities in Vietnam. Yet more fighting, yet more people killed, yet more homes destroyed, yet more orphans made, yet more people terribly scarred and disfigured. So what's our reaction? Or we hear, for instance, about a famine in, say, Bengal. People dying of starvation, not enough food to go around. Well, what's our reaction to that? Or we hear, for instance, about, say, a race riot in one of the southern states of the United States. Or we hear about some new example of the pollution of the atmosphere by industry, by maybe atomic fallout, something of that kind. Or suppose we hear about something quite different. Suppose we hear about the latest population explosion in some part of the world or other. So what's our reaction when we hear about these problems, when we see them before us, before our eyes, at least in the pages of the daily newspaper, or on the television screen? Well, our initial reaction, when we see at least some of these problems, when we see examples of them, our initial reaction may be a very strong one, maybe a very emotional one. We may be, for a while, quite sort of carried away by our feelings. There may be an initial reaction, say, of indignation, that such a thing should happen at all, that there should be such a problem. Maybe a reaction of concern, that we ought to try and do something might be an action of outrage, you know, against the people responsible for perpetrating the problem, if a perpetrator can in fact be identified at all. And there may be a reaction of worry, anxiety. Suppose the problem catches up with us, suppose we are involved. Huh? So these are the initial reactions, or some of the initial reactions that are possible when we are confronted by these problems in one or another of their very numerous and often very dreadful forms. But in the end, very often, only too often, it's a different feeling that overtakes us, a different feeling that overcomes us. Only too often, when the initial feeling of indignation or concern or outrage or worry has died away, has exhausted us itself, the feeling that we experience is simply one of helplessness. Helplessness. As we reflect, we see that the problem is so big, it's so complicated, there are so many factors, so many agents. We feel we, on the other hand, are so small. We're so weak. And there are so many problems, not just one, scores, maybe even hundreds of problems. So this, very often, only too often, is our reaction in the end. Huh? The position to which we finally come. The feeling that finally overtakes us, overpowers us. That we can't do anything about this problem, any of these problems. The problems are too much for us. So often we just try to forget. We say, well, it's just too bad. I'm very sorry about it all, but there's nothing I can do. So why worry? Let me just try to forget if I can. So we close our newspaper, or we switch off our television set, and we get on, perhaps, as best we can, with our own personal lives, and we try to forget the current world problems. We try to forget the problems of the world, the problems of other people. And with a greater or less degree of hedonism, we try to get on with our own personal lives.